You might have to call the coroner anyway.
Our folks are going to have to hit the road here. It's almost 10.
Oh, yeah.
Be safe, guys.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, folks. My name's Charlie Wood. Don't clap. I'm going to preach in a moment.
You go sit down, brother.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, my. We got folks in here today. Thank you much, Terry. Thank you, Jennifer, for coming down here. Bill's already gone. He doesn't even have a ride. He lit out walking north. He's well trained over there. Oh, there he is over there. There he is. I thought you left over there, brother. Bill, good to have you come down there. Amen, brother. Amen. I'll tell you why singing does so much. You see those smiles? Now that's Mr. Terry Lee, who he and his wife, the day before Katrina, put whatever they could in a station wagon and left New Orleans. All them wonderful possessions that you think so much of. That's why he doesn't like to go out in the rain too much. He'll tell you, I don't like to go out in the rain too much. That fellow that's traveling with him is Bill over there, and he has been such a blessing to us over the last, how long has Bill been singing with us now? Maybe, I don't know, Bob and him leave too? Bob left too? Ooh. He loves my sermons. He left. Claude, how long has Bill been singing with us? 3-4 months, something like that. Last fall, Kevin and I and Terry went over to the main funeral home on a Monday night for the viewing as Bill and his wife Maxine had to say goodbye to their 45-year-old son. And you're not supposed to bury your kids. Amen? Amen. And you see the smiles. And you feel the joy. Why? Because it is not of what we are doing. It is what God has allowed us to do, being vessels for Him. I have never experienced a tremendous crisis in my life, and I thank God for that. Amen. You know? But around so many, is that ringing? Is that me or is it one of these things up here? You want me to be quiet or move this thing over here? What do you want me to do? You're very technically savvy down here in the campgrounds. I have never experienced that crushing emotional blow. But so many around me and so many times, I have had the opportunity to go in to a family that has lost a loved one, to a family that is going through something that they just simply don't know the answer to. So many times when I felt, even to the pastor, you simply don't know what to say. You don't know how to share. You just say, God, just give me the right thing to say and do. And so many times I've just kept quiet with my ears being open and listening. My heart being moved and saying, God, and so many times I've simply just, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Because I know that blessed assurance that He gives us will allow us to go through any storm that comes our way. And the songs we sing, they're a message from the heart. They're happy songs, and oh, we get some of them right, some of them words right. No, old Bill, he just loves being up there like that, and every now and then I just make his mouth move like that, just do something. And he is having, his wife told me, and she came after, she says, you know, he is having more fun singing with you guys than he's had in a long, long time. So we thank God for what He allows us to do simply when we are willing to be vessels used of Him. And that's the reason you're here this morning. It was tough getting out of bed on a morning like this morning. The bed felt very good. The rain was coming down. Well, Jim, the couch was very good. Wherever you were, I don't know. Wherever you were this morning, it felt very comfortable. You know, it's one of those Sunday mornings where that rain is coming down. I don't want to go hear them old loudmouth singers. Goodbye, world. But you decided to come out and hear God's word this morning. Amen. So I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir today. And I'm preaching to people that I feel love God and have made a commitment in their life for what God is going to do in their lives, and even more importantly, in the lives of those that you come in contact with. That is the thing, the reason that God is doing such wonderful things in your lives. Because He is at times going to use you when you feel that, whew, I didn't realize about what God could do, how God could use me. Me? The things that I've done, the things that I've so many times come up short, and He is going to use me, I'm here to tell you, yes, He will. In the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to shorten this because it's 10 o'clock now, and I'm not going to rush out of here as I normally do. Normally I'm amen, and I'm like this, and you know, and out that door, and I'm not going to do that this morning. Brother Rich is preaching up at Mount Calvary, and he gets a little long-winded. I'll stay in here a little longer. That'll shorten that sermon up for me, brothers and sisters. And you're not taping it. Oh, you are taping this. He doesn't get this, so don't send this one to him. But I feel that God's people gathering together in His house for His purpose, allowing His Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, direct us, I believe that is a powerful thing. And I believe that that's what we need to have within our lives. And that is the attitude and warmth that we need to show one for another, no matter what we are going through. Because in 1 Corinthians, in the third chapter, and I'm just going to simply read down on verse 9, and this is a page somewhere between 2 and 1,017 in your Bibles if you're reading along. The scripture is very simple. Very simple. It's a story about the apostle writing, and he says, you know, the apostle Paul says, I may have planted a seed, and Apollos come along later on, and he may have watered. Am I too low or am I too high?
You're good. Trying to figure something.
I'm just messing with him. I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with these sound guys over here. Just, you know, I like to do that, you know. He said, I planted a seed. Apollos may have come along and watered it. And Kevin may have planted a seed. Brother Hicks may have come along and watered it. But I'll tell you one thing. It is God who gives the increase. Amen. It is God who makes things grow. We have our task. We have our job to do. But it is God who makes things grow. And he talks about that for a number of verses, and then he gets down to the 9th verse, and I'll just simply read you this one verse, and we'll jump over to Romans. I'll read you one from there. For we are God's fellow workers. Think of that. We are God's fellow workers. God allows us to work with Him in the task of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says something very unique. You are God's field. You are God's building. How many people called you a building today? Now, you wouldn't like it very much. What? What? I'm not a building. Kevin this morning, he had his, trying to still convince me, brought this chocolate, what is that thing you call, what'd you call it this morning? Chocolate? It's a what? And my chocolate protein shake. And I'll tell you one thing, that will stain a shirt in a heartbeat, morning, brother. Man, that thing must have been good, you know. You know how a child, if you went in on a birthday celebration, I love to go to a birthday celebration for a one-year-old or something like that, because where's that cake going? It's going everywhere. It's on their hair. It's like, over the cake. You can't land. Everybody's going to take pictures. That's like Kevin was. This little chocolate protein shake here. It's all down his front and all like that. Must have been good. That's all I can say. We are called God's building. We are called God's field. And we are called fellow workers with God. Then, you don't have to turn because I'm going to read it for you very quickly. Romans. This is one of those verses you probably got memorized anywhere. This is the one I go back to all the time because, my goodness, how much it applies to me in my life. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. God, open our minds, open our hearts. Let us put away every distraction, everything, and allow your seed to fall upon fertile ground this morning. Allow us to receive that simply you would have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says here that we are God's building. What does that mean? Three things it says in this verse over in 1 Corinthians. It says first, it says, we are fellow workers. We are pretty much like a family. Then it says that the church, which is our body of Christ, is a field. Then it says the church is also a building. Fellow workers with God. We are to be a family. A family. And you know, whenever you got a family, you got growing pains. Amen? We are hopefully, in our walk with God, maturing. I believe that Jesus Christ comes into your life, he saves you. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt that he gives you eternal life. Simply because of your realization that we have all sinned and come short of that great glory of God. And through my realization of my sin, my shortcomings, I realize that I just simply can't do it on my own. It is not of works, lest any man, woman, child should boast. It is simply my faith in God. Believe that? Amen. That's good stuff. But now you got to grow. And that's the tough part. That's where we have our growing pains. We can't eat the same things that we did as a child. If not, we would all go around with chocolate stains on our shirt because I'm the same way. I had a little chocolate ice cream last night mixed in with a little butter pecan. I was living on the edge. But if I only ate butter pecan and chocolate ice cream, I wouldn't do too well. And it says here that to be a family, we have to grow in maturity. And it brings into account, it brings in the fact that we have to watch what we eat, what we do. Amen?
Amen.
And I think one of the most important things that we have to realize in growing in maturity, we have to watch what we say. So many times that word. And you know what I'm talking about. So many times, Heavenly Father, please, just why didn't you just put a piece of tape over my mouth? Keep me from not saying that thing that I just so quickly popped out. Watching what I eat. Watching what I do. And most importantly, watching what I say. Because what I say can hurt a brother or sister. And I believe today that none of you do that. I believe if you did, you'd been home talking bad about me or doing something. But no, you made a choice to come out on this beautiful liquid sunshine morning to celebrate the joy of the Lord. Because this is the day that he hath made. And you've decided to rejoice and be glad in it. It also says that the church is a field. And the goal of this field is to bear fruit. Planting season is upon us. I love it. All the flowers are out. And, oh, it's wonderful. And I tell you one thing, these last few weeks, you may have been a little disappointed in the rain, but there's a whole lot of farmers out there that are smiling. Because they know without this rain, things won't be green. That old corn won't taste sweet. That old yellow squash won't be able to go in the pan with a little onion, big stick of butter. Pretty much shortening your life expectancy by 2 or 3 years. Me too. Me too. But I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just telling you. None of that is going to happen unless we have this rain that the good Lord has given us. The goal of any field is to bear fruit. We've been challenged by God to work, to do our part, simply to sow that seed, to toil that soil, put the fertilizer in. Oh, we got plenty of fertilizer out there. Don't you worry about it. But it is our job to do what we can. But it is God's job to bring the increase. Amen? Amen. Then it says that as a church we are building. So what is our goal with this building that he calls us as a church? And in the notes here it has written quality materials. Quality materials. We have to have the right foundation. There is no other foundation that is built other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our foundation this morning. And upon that wonderful, strong foundation, he expects us to use good quality materials. Things that will withstand the storms that come our way. You can see fellas that I enjoy singing with because, and I mean, all the joy that you see, it's real. All the fun we have, we just have fun doing it. I shouldn't say this in church, but we're happier here, but it really doesn't make any difference. We're going to sing anyway. Because we feel that that's what God has placed within our lives to share. Sing. Joy. The good things that God has done. The right material. Because you know that these fellows have something they stand on more, because I know the things they've been through. Share a little bit with you. Whoa, what a wonderful thing when you see somebody who's been through so much can stand and sing with such joy. And God has blessed so richly. Whether we simply look up on a board and see baseballs that represent some of the most hurtful times in a person's life, but still we can stand with joy and sing praises. For when I wake up, there will be a day when I will sleep no more. I believe that. Then we have to have the material that is most important of all. We have to have the right motive. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. And that word condemnation is kind of a funny thing. I call it the blame game. Now, you know, if you're in a family that you play that blame game. I don't know if any of you had brothers and sisters. If you did, you always had someone to blame. Who did it? I'm fortunate enough, and here in our wonderful congregation this morning, I've got a guy that I played golf with on Saturdays, Big Jim over there. We ride in a golf cart on a Saturday afternoon. When I hit a bad shot, I point to him. He does the same thing. Charlie, why did you let me do that? It is your fault. We play the blame game. We do it in a fun way. But you know, there are a lot of people out there that they're just kind of hung up on that blame game. They're just hung up on that thing of who to accuse. And now, the nice thing of it is when we get to be a little older, when we get a little more seasoned, some of us are quite seasoned. Yes, quite seasoned, we can see. We start to realize that most of the mistakes and things that we made in our lives, we start to realize that What? We start to look at ourselves. Because when we're immature, we kind of point and look at everybody else and, you know, like that. And then you get to a point in your life, you start to go, oh, you know, I better look at myself. And I'm talking to Christians here, folks. The same struggles that you have day in and day out. And we look inside and then the thing that I'm going to leave with and the thing that I'm going to try to impress upon your mind, try to impress upon your heart today is the blame game. Is the most crucial, is the most severe, is the most damaging when you're playing that blame game on yourself. I know so many times that there's a parent that blames themselves because, boy, that wayward son or daughter just didn't turn out the way that I've prayed for them to. And what do? Blame themselves. Many times, and I know you've heard about that child who's so concerned in their lives about my parents divorced, and maybe it was because of me. How many times has a wife just simply blamed herself because of a marriage that's broken up? When I tell you one thing, a guy was just a bum anyway. I'm going to say it in church, you're better off without him. Amen? Amen. But how many times have that spouse beaten themselves up inside over things that you simply have no control over? It? The blame game that we play with ourselves. How many times has there been people that could do wonderful things for God, and God opens a door, makes an opportunity right there. And what do they say? They look within their hearts, they look back on their lives, and they listen to that little voice that says, oh, no, you can't do that after what you've done in your life. They'd call you a hypocrite. I'm here to tell you this morning, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation in those that can call Jesus Christ personal Lord and Savior. And it's only because of Him that you walk in the Spirit, not in the darkness. It is my faith in God, knowing that He is going to do a work. I'm tired of placing blame, situations and people that, you know what? That's God's job, not mine. It is my job to love. And when the situation is difficult, you got to love more. You got to love when it just doesn't seem like you can love anymore. You got to keep loving. Those things that are in your life, those things that cause you such turmoil inside, cause you anger, cause you disappointment, you just got to turn them over, put them on the altar, and say, God, you just got to take care of it. And you got to love them. You're dealing with somebody who's going through a situation, and you go out of your way to show them love, it will make a difference because you'll surprise them. They expect, and I know people have been mad for years, years and years, mad about things, and they can't even remember what they's mad about, but they're still mad. Right? Right. Amen. And it's time that we as Christians should be known by our love one for another. Just tossing it all away and say, God, I don't know why. There are no mistakes. There are no accidents in God. God is still on the throne. He is still the one that will see me through any storm that comes my way if I simply keep my faith in Him. Now, this morning, I'm just talking to you. You may think it's good preaching. You may not. You don't get your money back if you didn't. But you know, the only thing that I believe God more and more wants us to do is share from our hearts. And you know that. You know when you've got a friend that is sharing from their heart. And they take you aside and they say, brother, sister, I just want to share something with you. And, you can feel the warmth of God's love and the opportunity that you have to share. Not in condemnation, but in love. God loved me when I was unlovable. And I hate to tell you that scripture applies to you too. Because you had a time in your life that you were unlovable. Not all of you are you little pretty saints that you are this morning, all dressed up and ready to go to church at 9 o'clock down at the campgrounds. We've done some things in our life we're not proud of. And people know it. So get off them spiritual high horses. Come on down here where we live. Because where we live is where we have the opportunity to love. Amen? That's what I'm preaching on this morning. Now, you may have things going on in your life, and you may say, well, I don't know. I don't know how this applies to me. It may not. I hate to tell you this, but not every sermon you ever heard was directed towards you. Sorry about that. But I'll tell you, there'll be somebody that you come in contact with that needs to feel a little love, needs to feel a bit more warmth, may need to feel a little more understanding, a little more tenderness. And you may be that light that God wants to use to overcome the darkness, the shadows. I believe it. I believe it. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, just a moment, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to pray. Now, if you've never heard any invitation, or you've never heard a story about Jesus, or you've heard certain things, but you've never made a commitment to him, it's the simplest thing you ever do. You say, Heavenly Father, I just don't know. That's the simplest thing. Most people, when they made any kind of a commitment in church, they didn't know. When I walked down an aisle, I heard the music and I was moved and my heart was touched and all like that. And I heard, just as I am. And I walked down an aisle and the good Lord said, found it fit to love me. But there were people there who simply loved me when I wasn't too lovable. Or maybe you got a situation in your life that, wow, I need to take care of it. I need to work a little harder. I need to just do. No, you don't. You just need to turn it over to God. Let him do the work. You start to believe in his word, what he says about you. Or maybe you have somebody that you know that you just simply need to be praying for them. And when you're praying for them, it's hard to be mad at them when you're praying for them. Because what's going to happen is God is going to touch them, but he is also going to touch you because he's going to change your heart and your attitude towards that individual that you're trying to lift up in prayer. This is not one of them rah, 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 rah sermons. I got one of those. I'll mail it to you. They'll send it to you. But this is one of those things, I think, when you get God's people on a nice morning, you ought to just kind of talk. And you ought to feel God's love. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house. We have sung praises under your name. We have opened your word and we have shared from our heart. We feel what you would have for us today, God. We thank you for making us fellow workers. We thank you for allowing us to be the building, to be the field. And most of all, we thank you for knowing that there is no condemnation in those who trust in Lord Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit. So, Heavenly Father, at this time, we simply want you to touch hearts. Let people know that this is not an accident you get up on Sunday morning, God. We're here for a purpose. Let's bring glory unto your name. So, Heavenly Father, be with those who simply need you. Whether they simply need more of you or whether they need to begin off making a commitment, let them be willing to say, hey, preacher, let me talk to you just a moment. Or any of the folks that work here, let them be willing to reach out and discuss the things and questions they have within their hearts. And Heavenly Father, make us softer. Just tenderize us. And God, prepare us for that individual who needs to hear that you love us. You love us. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for allowing us to share the word. We thank you for this glorious day that you have given us. Give us safe traveling mercies, God. And let us once again lift up the name of Jesus as we gather together, if it be your will. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen. I want you to stand up where you're at. Kevin, you're already standing up there.
I heard the song sung a few weeks ago, and I just absolutely loved it. It goes like this. Jesus loves me, yes, yes I know. Oh, Lord, I know, tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
As Kevin comes forward, I want you to turn around. I want you to shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're the best looking person standing next to you.
You're the best looking person standing next to you.